This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hour number two of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the Free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Coming up a little bit later, more of your phone calls on the Commanders as we embark on the off season in the wake of an Eagles Super Bowl victory. Also, the greatest sporting event that was just hidden, not even hidden, like, a sporting event that we deep down knew we needed, that we got last night, and it lived up to the hype. We'll talk about that coming up at 5:45. Right now, though, today's edition of Not My Beat is actually going to be our Super Bowl review from Take Command, because, well, the Eagles winning is still the top story, sadly, but still the top story in sports just less than 48 hours after things went final, even if you tack the 48 hours from, halftime when the game really ended. Game hadn't even started 48 hours ago, which is wild. But Logan and I broke it down, also used the Super Bowl itself to touch on some things that we can learn from the Commanders. So without further ado, here's me, here's Logan, talking ball for today's edition of Not My Beat. We're going to start off today, before we get to the mailbag, with some chatter about the Super Bowl. And Logan, people will be like, oh, what do we learn from the Super Bowl? And I'm like, these two teams have been here. These two teams have been around. Yeah. I don't know that there's a ton we learned specifically from the game, other than like some stuff that's specific to the game. We talk about the team building stuff. Like, I had someone call into the radio show on Monday and say, like, well, what does Adam Peters learn from this game? You know, knowing he's got to get past the Eagles. I'm like, nothing. He learned everything he needed to know at the NFC Championship game when his team lost in significant fashion, similar to the Chiefs. But I do think the game itself is interesting. It's not a game that we thought would be a lot closer. Obviously, Eagles just thoroughly dominant. They're clearly the best team in football this year. By the way, the only team to beat them since their Week 5 bye was the Washington Commanders. But they just throttled Kansas City. And I mean that both figuratively and literally. The way that they tightened the screws defensively on them to a level that I didn't think was possible against that offense and specifically that quarterback.
Yeah, it was really crazy. I was watching the game and, I kind of had this expectation going in, like, everybody asks, who you got in the Super Bowl? What do you think? And I kind of was like, well, I think it's going to be a one score game, right? They're going to kind of play it out. That's what Philly wants to do. That's what Kansas City wants to do. And if you're giving it on, and if it's a last possession football game, you're going to give it to Patrick Mahomes. But I will say, after the, I want to say it was the second three and out or second four and out that Kansas City had, I had this thing in my head that popped up. I was like, oh, they don't get it. They don't get how good Philly's defense is in the back end. They don't understand the speed they're dealing with. They don't understand, like, the how well coached the back end of that group is. Because, again, like, everyone's talking about the offensive line. I do think that's a big story, obviously. Like, and I think that's something that you mentioned, things to learn. I think that's one of the things to learn is, like, when you got a guy, let's make sure you got an offensive line to help him out and protect him. But I think the one thing is his time to throw was 3.2 seconds, which is pretty long for Patrick Mahomes. And to me, that's him looking to the first read. It's not there. Everything's dead. And how many times in prepping for Philly this year, the three times we played them, did you just watch a coverage and be like, There is no air here. There's no air. And I wish I could articulate this in a way that showed how impressive that is to the listener. But when you watch defenses, usually you're like, oh, like here's a free runner. Oh, the back's open in the flat. Oh, you can easily get to this dig if you kind of give it a beat. There is zero air. And so that's when I was watching the game. I was like, they don't get it. They're not ready for how good this defense is. And that showed up big time as the game went on. So it literally went from, I think it's going to be a one score game to after the second three and out, I'm like, this might be a blowout. I literally had that thought. I said it to my wife out loud. Like, I just was like, they don't understand how good this group is defensively. And Philly is not going to make a lot of mistakes offensively to let you get back in it. And that's exactly what happened.
They even make the one and it just doesn't matter because
doesn't matter.
You know, by the end. And there's so many points in that game because it's Pat and because it's the Chiefs that you're like, oh, there's the point, the interception. You know, they have this chance, where they get the ball backed up. You're like, oh, Patrick is about to lead them on a 93-yard touchdown drive. They'll get the ball to start the second half, and this thing will be 17-14 before Jalen Hurts touches it again. And instead, Joe Tooney gets bull rushed into Patrick Mahomes' leg. He throws a pick to Zach Bond. Bang, score, 24-0. And the game is basically over at halftime. We enjoy Kendrick Lamar, and then it's just a coronation in the second half. And especially after Philly comes out and like three and out or four and out, whatever it was, and then the dagger to Devontae Smith to make it even more certain that that game was not going to be some historical comeback. Can you remember a point in your career where you played a defense like that, where you watch them on film and you know that they're good? Because there's no way Kansas City didn't know that Philly was really good, but just playing against them, like once you get on the field, you're like, oh, this is not what I thought was going to happen. This is way worse.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind for me, and I was actually talking to Santana about this, and I was like, I haven't seen a defense like this. He's like, what about those old Baltimore defenses? And those old Baltimore defenses felt like that. Like you watched them on film, you saw one thing, and then when you got on the field, like they were just so big and so physical and so fast. And so I think that's a pretty good comparison. I will say it's different. Like, and what I mean by that is, so back, in when was that, 2010, 2011, whenever we were playing Baltimore, and I even miss like peak Baltimore because I think it was the year prior. It was like 2007, maybe, when they were really good or they won that Super Bowl. But I don't remember exactly. But my point is that like they played a lot of single high, eight-man boxes, Ed Reed doing his thing in the back end.
Yeah, Ed Reed was three people in the back end by himself.
Yeah. And so now, because of how offenses have changed, because how defensive emphasis has changed, like it's literally, he articulated this really well. It's really like just six dudes in the box. And Vic Fangio's like, you figure it out. And the back end is just there. Like they are just in the zones and the hot spots of the defense. And so, yeah, it feels like that, where you're just like overwhelmed by the speed, the physicality, the playmaking ability. And it's different, obviously, than Baltimore, because those dudes, like Terrell Suggs and Johnson on the other side, and they had these big interior players, Adams and Saragusa and all the, like, it just was different, right? But this is it, like when you're watching it on the sideline, it has that same kind of like, oh, this is just it's turned up a little bit. And so that's what it reminded me of. And I think when you look statistically at those great Baltimore defenses, I think they're the number one scoring defense maybe of all time with like 17.4. But Philly over the last couple of weeks, or over the last kind of chunk of the season, is like 17.5. Like just to give you an approximation of like where they're at.
Yeah, I think the all-time Ravens defense was like the 2000 team.
When they beat the Giants, right? Is that?
Yeah. Like that team where Trent Dilfer was the Super Bowl winning quarterback, and all due respect to Dilfer, but like, almost any NFL quarterback with a pulse could have been the quarterback of that team. Like that defense literally gave up, I think it might've been like 13 a game. Like it was
crazy.
A grotesque defense. You have them, you have the 85 Bears, you have the 2013 Seahawks, you have that 2007 Giants team that beats the 18-0 a couple of my friends, we call it the 18-0 Patriots because they lose the Super Bowl, obviously, but it's that Randy Moss, like insane offense and just the pass rush that the Giants have. And I think that's the thing that sticks out in this game is not only do they have dudes in DeJean and Mitchell and Bond and Blankenship and Slay. They got guys that are really fast and really intelligent and really well coached. They also have a lot of them, both in that they have depth and also they blitzed zero times in this game. Literally zero. They had some simulated pressures, so there are some times that they're able to create free runners, which is crazy against, like, you have Pat Mahomes and Creed Humphrey, and you're still getting free runners because you're able to confuse their protection rules enough that Zach Bond is flying, you know, unblocked through the B gap. But then just the fact that you have seven or eight guys in coverage on every snap with that intelligence, with that range, like, that feels, that's how you tighten the screws like that, is like you just don't have anybody who's overexposed. And not to mention, against the guys like Mahomes, and I actually think Jaden is this way too. Like, we talked about this with Daniels this year. If you blitz, his eyes are going to obviously see that flash of like, oh, that's an extra guy coming. And often there's space vacated behind it. And so if you're fast enough with your release and your processing, blitzes are opportunities. And Mahomes is as good at that as anyone. And because they did not give him the opportunities to beat the blitz, he had to just beat coverage. And when you have to beat coverage and the four-man rush is getting home, that's a nightmare. Like, there's just no, I don't know what the offensive fix is for that outside of being like, screw this, we're not going to pass, we're going to run the ball. And Kansas City couldn't really do that either.
Well, I think, you know, not to make this about the Commanders, but I think it's a testament to how well Jaden played in the championship game, especially on those first couple of drives, man. He did a great job, again, finding those tight window throws, being aggressive in man-to-man coverage. And I think it just shows you kind of the mindset you need to have that Dan Quinn brought in, you know, going forward on fourth down. Like, that's what you needed to do versus this team, you know. And I think, again, it's so tight. And the way Zach Bond plays underneath, the way he's able to get into zones, the way he's able to close throwing windows, and it's all married together so well. It's so cinched. Like, and that's why it was so weird watching the second matchup that the Commanders had versus the Eagles, like where they're able to hit those two explosive plays over the top, because everything had just been so well timed and so well formulated the entire season. And I guess they're allowed a hiccup, and good thing it happened versus the Commanders, but man, like, it's hard to articulate how good they are at playing defense. Like, they are tremendous. And so I really felt like that Kansas City to understand it. And if you want solutions, like, you have to be able to run the ball a little bit. You need a couple easy buttons. And I think, again, going back to the championship game, like, you're able to run a couple whams, a couple quarterback runs, like, just to kind of keep you on schedule to keep the defense honest. And I think when you look at the LA Rams game, you know, they rushed for over, it was like 115 yards or something like that with the running back there, Kyron Williams. And like, that's a testament to them. That's how you deal with them. But again, they are so talented up front, specifically on the interior of the defensive line and at linebacker with Zach Bond, that most teams just aren't equipped to do that. Like, LA's offensive line is good. Like, when they're healthy, that's a good group. And they understand who they are. They understand how to get downhill. They present different looks in terms of run fits, which is a little bit challenging. And they're willing to die by a 3.5 yard a game kind of carry. I don't think Kansas City was equipped to do that. I think Andy Reid knew that. And I think when he said, oh, we're going to run a ton of RPOs, like, I think about the RPOs that the Commanders ran in the first game, on the Thursday night game, and in the second game, I've never seen a team defend them so well, right? Even in the championship game, just how quickly they are to get up the field and attack those little bubbles and slants and things like that. So it's, again, I think that This Kansas City team was depleted compared to other Kansas City teams. Like, they're just a little bit banged up on the offensive line. You know, they don't have maybe the offensive playmaking ability that they've had in the years past. But I think it's a huge testament, in my opinion, to Philly and what they've done throughout the year and how they've been coached and how they've executed. Because, like, again, like, that is a really dominant group, and I think that showed up in the Super Bowl.
For sure. And it also shows you just how, you know, quality drafting, it, both immediately and in the long term, like, can just change the trajectory of your franchise. Because, like, both these teams are great, right? Like, they're both really good rosters. The Eagles are the best roster in the league, for sure. Like, hands down. They might be one of the best, you know, 1 to 53s that we've had. I can't even think of a team that was this talented.
Maybe ever?
Yeah.
Like, the one that came to mind earlier was the that Ravens team that won the Super Bowl in 2000. Like, that... Their offensive line was amazing. They had good speed on the outside. They had a good running back. I think they had a 2,000-yard rusher that season. And their defense was, it feels like that. You know what I mean? Like, just when you're like, oh, there's dudes everywhere. So.
Yeah, 100%. And there's just, and like, obviously, Jalen is a lot better than Trent Dilfer. Man, Trent Dilfer's taking bullets in this one. Sorry, Trent.
But I'm not saying that. But yeah, I'm saying, like, in terms of.
It's, top to bottom and at the most important position. Like, we've talked about it. Jalen is... Is he the best pocket passer processor in the league? No, but he does basically everything else well. He's in great command at the line of scrimmage. His leadership skills are A+. Like there's so much stuff that he does, and his accuracy and specifically his deep ball accuracy. So like, sure, he might not hit the quick hook. As fast as Jaden Daniels or Patrick Mahomes, but like he'll hit the deep ball as well as those guys, and he's got the dudes on the outside to make that a bigger part of their offense. So
yeah, and I think that's a great point too, and it's good to give context to his performance. Like it took him, I mean, Kimes said this on our podcast, 3.7 seconds to throw the football. The average is 3.4 in the NFL. So obviously, like they, I think that they understand who he is and what he wants to do. They're going to get the best pass protecting offensive line in football, best offensive line in football, period. They let him be him. You know, so like first completion to Devontae Smith, like Devontae's open on the corner, but he like doesn't read it out well. He pulls it down. He kind of loses a little bit of ground, scrambles to his right, and then makes the completion. So the ball got where it needed to go. It just didn't happen in the way that, you know, Jaden Daniels or Joe Burrow would get that done. So I think that's, again, like you've built a team to support the quarterback, much like the Detroit Lions have built a team to support Jared Goff, right? Like that's good. When you don't have a top shelf guy, you need to understand what their weaknesses are and then kind of fill in around that so that they don't have to be in their weaknesses all the time. And Philadelphia, because how talented they are offensively, have done that perfectly. So, you know, talk about something else to learn from Philly. And again, this is hard to navigate because they've hit on their first, second and third round picks for the last 4 years are all starting contributing members to the team, which is insane. So that, but you know, fill in the roster to maximize your best players, specifically the quarterback.
For sure. And to finish what I was saying, we've brought it all the way back around, is the Chiefs didn't not address some of their weaknesses. They tried, but between injuries, stupidity, and bad drafting, they've got holes. And so, you know, they've been trying to fix receiver since they traded Tyreek. They look like they had someone in Rashee Rice, and he was a dope all offseason and then got hurt. So there's your receiver problem. They've got a guy that, you know, assuming that all this legal stuff plays out and he heals his ACL, he'll be back next year. And that helps them tremendously. They tried to address offensive line. They, in the third round 2 years ago and in the first round second round last year, they took left tackles. Neither one of them was any good to start. And maybe Sua Matia winds up being really good. Like he was super young, super raw. And there was some stuff where you're wondering like how mature is he coming into this, but he's so talented that you wonder if 2 years from now is that no longer looked at as a bust. But like for this year, it didn't help them out. And so they have this hole at left tackle, you know, on down the list. Like they've tried to address their needs, but you have like two bad quote unquote drafts in a row. And you go from the two-time defending champion to getting housed in the Super Bowl by a team that didn't miss for 3 years in a row. Like that,
And bad is relative too. Like, I mean, Xavier Worthy's been a hit for them, I would say. He's going to be a good player. But then you have Sumaiti in the second round. And then you look at the linebackers they've drafted who have all hit over the last couple of years, but they've been late around picks. And so it's just like, that's what drafting is. I think it's probably, I don't know exactly what it is, but it feels like it's between like a 35 and a 40% hit rate is a good draft. But like the Eagles are way on the other end of variance.
They're like
there.
At 80%. It's stupid.
Yeah. It's crazy. And they've made good moves and they made smart decisions. So I'm not like detracting from that.
Well, they get lucky with a guy like Bond too, to where he goes from a guy who's a mediocre to bad outside linebacker. And he's defensive player of the year candidate. Like finalist, he's in the montage at the NFL honors for that defensive player of the year as inside linebacker. So like, there's an element of luck, coaching, scouting. Like they just had it all come together. And like I think the good news is that I don't think that they're gonna be better next year. They might be close to as good, which is terrifying. But like Milton Williams is going to go get paid in free agency, so they'll be a little worse along the line. Josh Sweat is probably going to get paid in free agency. But also I think it's hilarious that their big offseason signing was Bryce Huff. He was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl. Yeah. They paid Devin White twice as much as Zach Bond. Devin, I don't even know if he's still on the team. I don't know if he made it out of training camp.
He got cut. Yeah. Like week 5 or 6. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, we'll see it what they do, because obviously these guys are so young. I think they're the third youngest roster in the league, that a lot of these guys are going to come back and better. Like, Mitchell will somehow be better. DeJean will be better. Carter, God forbid, if he is better. But they will not have the depth, I think, next year, because they're going to now have to, like, Bond was on a one-year, $1.5 million deal, I think it was.
Like, same with Mekhi Becton, though, too. Yeah, like, those types of guys are, they're going to get paid for sure.
They're going to get paid, and it's the same question that Washington has, right? Which we'll get to here in a second. Like, they now have to make choices of, like, okay, you guys crushed it. Now curse the Super Bowl. How many guys do you want to bring back and get paid? If I'm Philly, like, I'm paying Zach Bond a lot of money to keep him around, but, like, what does that mean for the rest of my roster? And so that's, I think, the hope for the rest of the NFC is they're not going to be quite as deep. And I will say this too. Philly, from a health standpoint, had a pretty easy year, and that is hard to repeat in the NFL. And so I'm not wishing ill will or ill health on any other players, obviously, but you know, this is all before everyone's like, oh my god, the Eagles are going to run the NFL for the next 5 years. It's like, the chances that this confluence of circumstances comes together again like this is slim. I also don't know that I put anybody ahead of them as favorites for 2025.
I mean, I'd probably put Kansas City ahead of them because they got a better quarterback, but that's besides the point.
Kansas City's got a lot of questions, though, too.
Yeah, it's true. And, like, I think they have the most people, like, leaving in free agency or up for free agent contracts.
Kansas City, by the way, the only team with more or fewer players under contract than Washington. So that's certainly something we're going to be talking about a lot.
But I do think you look at Mekhi Becton, he's playing at a Pro Bowl caliber year on like $1 million, which is crazy for an offensive lineman, right? Zach Bond, like, to get his level of, like, again, we talked about the defense. Like, to me, he might be the number one driver of their success, like, on defense. And so he's probably going to go, right? He should go if I was him, right? If
or he'll stay because they'll pay him like he went.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I think, but don't, like, think about, like, big subtractions possibly from the defense and from the offense. Like, I like Tyler Steen a lot, their backup right guard, but he didn't play as well as Mekhi Becton did this year. And I don't think he ever will, because Mekhi Becton's like one of one freak in the NFL, right? So those are the types of decisions that, again, they just kind of put dents in the armor. You know what I mean? And that's what's been happening to Kansas City for the last 4 years, is you kind of get a little sluggish drafting, your free agent hits don't hit exactly right. And you look at New Orleans back, they had that really excellent draft where they drafted kind of like five future Hall of Famers, and you're like, oh, damn. And then they're good, good, good. And then they're not good. And it's like, because you didn't hit consistently. That's the thing about the draft. That's the thing about free agency, is it's hard to be consistent for a long periods of time. And I think, to your point, like, those are like the luckiest free agent signings of all time. You take an on-ball linebacker, you put him at an off-ball, and he becomes again, one of the best linebackers in football. You take a retread guard who plays at a Pro Bowl level. Like, those things just don't happen consistently.
Yeah, you haven't missed on. That's nice to what Mekhi Becton has been. You take a failed tackle and make him into a Pro Bowl guard.
And then you've hit on all of your picks for the last 4 years of the first three. Like, what? Like, so Fred was saying, like, you know, we were talking about which is easier, to find the all-star quarterback or do what Philly did. Like, find your top five quarterback or do what Philly did. And statistically, I would say it's harder to do what Philly did. And we know how hard it is to find a generational quarterback. Because think about it. You're rolling dice, right? And you got to hit sevens on four defensive linemen, which they did. You got to hit sevens on a linebacker that no one thought was going to hit. You got to hit sevens on five secondary players, five offensive linemen, two receivers, a tight end, and a running back. Are you kidding me? Like, it just seems impossible to do that consistently. So in terms of, like, which is easier, we know how hard it is to find a quarterback. Like, what they did with the roster is probably the hardest thing I've ever – like, it's statistically, like, almost impossible to do. So I do think there will be a regression from them. I think they're still very, very good, obviously, but I think there'll be a little bit of a regression.
They do have a ton of their guys under contract, though, and their cap table's stupid. The way they've structured these contracts, like, guys for next year, the cap number they have is so small for a lot of these guys. Now,
they're all rookies, a lot of them on their rookie deals. Like,
About the vets. Like, the way that they structure these guys is crazy. Let me see if I can pull it up. This is 26. Let's see. Oh, but it's the base salary numbers. Like, the base salary numbers next year, the cap hits are a little bit higher, obviously, because signing bonuses, options, whatever. But, like, here's the base salaries for next year. Jalen Hurts, 1.17. A.J. Brown, 1.17. Lane Johnson, 1.2. Mailata, 1.17. Slay, 1.2. Goddard, 1.2. Devontae Smith, 1.17. Barkley, 1.6. Landon Dickerson, 1.17. Then you get down to Jalen Carter's next on the list, 1.03, because he's on his rookie deal. But that's the guys in order of cap hits and their base salary. Now, the cap numbers, Jalen's 21, AJ 17, Lane 17, on down the list. But still, those are not bad numbers. 26 is where some of it comes due, where Jalen's got, is it 26 or 27? 27, Hurts is going to count like $41 million towards the cap. So there's, and then 2029, you have a $97 million cap hit for Jalen Hurts. So obviously, you'll be restructuring before then. but, you know, that's, they've been able to push some of this money later in the cap. Like in 2029, Jordan Mailata has got a base salary of $50 million and a $35 million cap number. I don't even know how that works. Yeah. But that according to Over the Cap. So like they've done some creative structuring, and I think that's another lesson too. Like that takes some cash from the owner, to be able to do some of this stuff, to pay guys up front, have the contracts work the way they're working, which gives you flexibility year over year. And so that's something that certainly I'm sure Adam Peters has gone to Josh Harris and been like, hey, so this is how Philly's able to do this from a structure standpoint. Let's copy that. And so that's something that I think you can take as well. But
want more from Craig and Logan? Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. More Hoffman Show next on the Team 980 and the free Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
6 o'clock, we get back to the Commanders here on the Hoffman Show as we'll take a look at ESPN's Way Too Early 2025 NFL Power Rankings, and we will tier them off into our own tier rankings that we do during the season. Do the Commanders make the cut as a prime contender entering 2025-26? The answer at 6 p.m. Right now, though, Anthony, I think that we should talk about the sporting event that deep down, I think we always knew that we needed. And we are getting it, and it is as good as we thought it could be, and more. Unrivaled, the off-season, if you will, women's basketball league that has taken about 35, 36 of the top, let's call it 45 players in the world. Absolutely star-studded. Basically, the only two players of the top flight players that are missing from this league in the women's basketball world are Caitlin Clark and Asia Wilson. Both decided they weren't going to play this year. There's definitely a chance, I think, that Clark plays next year. We'll see about Asia if she wants to get in on the act next year. But outside of that, I mean, Nafisa Collier, Brianna Stewart, they're the two co-founders of the league. It's a three-on-three league that also has a one-on-one tournament, which started last night. And we have for years wanted an NBA one-on-one tournament. And the ladies are giving us what we've always wanted in terms of the best basketball players in the world playing one-on-one. And, buddy, it is A+. First of all, one of the questions I had going into this is, like, what are the rules? Because you can play one-on-one a whole bunch of different ways. You can have just pure free-for-all where you just play the way that I think a lot of us kind of played, especially early growing up. You can have a more structured, like, oh, it's two dribble or three dribble, whatever. And what they did was they made it a 7-second shot clock, defensive rebound. There are two players on the outside, like some of them were, I think, players. Sometimes it was like an assistant coach or whoever, but they call it the outlet player. So you get the defensive rebound, you throw the ball to your outlet player. That clears that. Once you clear the 3-point line, you get the ball back. And now that kind of fixes the ever one-on-one problem of how do you engage from having a lot or without having a live dribble. So can you do something from triple threat? And you fix that because now you're receiving a pass. And like sometimes in one-on-one, every time you get a defensive rebound, you check up, or often you'll check up, and that's a way to do it. This kind of formalizes that. Offensive rebounds are live. The shot clock resets to 5. It's really well done, I think, in all aspects. It's make it take it, which is a classic thing that's unique to one-on-one. Love that. And yeah, man, like, all the setup is great. And then you get to the product where you have these ladies just absolutely cooking each other, including upset of the night, the homie, friend of the show, Aaliyah Edwards, who was like, hey, you got to root for me. And I was like, Aaliyah, done. You're the only person down there that's truly a friend of the show. I mean, Shakir Austin is great. Oh, love talking to Shakir every year, who also, by the way, wanted an upset last night. But Aaliyah Edwards takes down her UConn Husky sister, Brianna Stewart, the number one seed, the co-founder of the league, and she did it, Anthony, 12-0 in the quickest game of the night. How about our girl, Aaliyah Edwards, rocking it down at Unrivaled one-on-one? The drama, the competitiveness, the ball. This was awesome, bro.
It was definitely crazy. I will say I did not have Aaliyah Edwards beating Breanna Stewart, but to also do it 12-0, give her a donut.
Yo, I would have never. Falling. Yeah, took her off the dribble.
Left hand, off hand, didn't matter. Step back, like. God dang. Nah, we definitely needed this. I'm excited for, I guess, the second batch of one-on-ones for round one.
Well, so that was round one last night. Round two is tonight, which, by the way, because they've had to reconfigure their bracket a little bit because they've
got some people got hurt.
Some girls that are banged up. And so Aaliyah actually, by winning that, got a bye because the other people that like she would have faced, both of them were out. So she automatically advances. She doesn't play tonight. I thought about seeing if we could get her on the show today, but we got a little jammed up. But we'll see if we can connect with her soon. By the way, speaking of Mystics stuff, the Mystics introductory press conference for their new GM and head coach, initially scheduled for last week, got rescheduled, is now this, or 2 weeks ago, now going to be tomorrow. So I will sit down with both of them. Those interviews will go at Hoffman W Sports, and we'll try to play them here on the show as well later as the week goes. But yeah, she's off tonight, and the second round of one-on-one is tonight. And it goes through the week. And then, I think the 3-on-3, part of this is wrapping up, over the next week and a half or so as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of the 3-on-3 you've taken in, but like, that's been awesome too.
Now, I watched the 3-on-3 as well. But I think 1-on-1 is just different though, just because you're out there on your own, you're going out there showing off what bag you have. And the fact that we getting upsets, like Rakia, she upset, Jackie Young. We have Shakira upsetting
Chelsea Gray.
So it's just like, and these are some of the better players that we see around the league. We see Breanna Stowe. We see everybody talking about Chelsea Gray. All right, yeah, watch out for these first and second year players.
Nobody's supposed
though.
To have a bigger bag than Chelsea Gray.
I'm saying.
And Shakira was like, nah. And it's been interesting because sometimes it's styles make fights. Like, yeah. Kalia Copper beat Aaliyah Boston, but she wasn't happy about it. She's like, damn, that big girl made me work because, like, Aaliyah is a big and Ka is a guard, and that was not very fun for Kalia Copper, even if she ultimately got the job done. I think Kalia Copper's quote was, the big girls need their home bracket. Like, if you're doing that on the NBA NBA side, it's like, all right, all dudes over 7 feet, like, y'all need your own bracket. We ain't trying to mess with you with the guards. And some of the sound bites, by the way, the sound bites have been of the post game. Roz Goldon-Wude was on the post game last night. Do we have both Rakia and
I have Alicia
and Alicia Gray. Okay, so Alicia Gray is a guard for the Atlanta Dream of the WNBA. Excellent player, WNBA All-Star. Maybe not as well known because she's not like on that superstar level, but a bona fide All-Star. She played with Asia Wilson at University of South Carolina. They're very close. And she played her Atlanta Dream teammate, Jordan Canada, one. And then very quickly, as will become apparent, talked to Roz Goldon-Wude on the sideline afterwards. And by the way, Alicia Gray, you'll find out in this interview why she is so excited to be at Unrivaled.
Oh, you always trying to get to the bag with money on the line. Like, who don't want no money?
I know that's right.
Oh, I thought you had the whole interview, Anthony.
Oh, the 20-second one?
I'm talking about, like, I think the whole 90 seconds was, like, some of the funniest TV that I've seen. It's like, I literally, we were watching it. I turned to Rachel, and I go, this is why real things exist. She was exhausted, tired. And that's the thing. It's like, how long, these games are not very long, but because they're one-on-one, they're super intense. And she's like, yeah, she ran me. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Like, it was so funny. And then she got to the end and Roz asked her, like, hey, you got the whole interview? All right, let's just run the tape.
Alicia, Wednesday you lost to this team by 23 points tonight. A win by
that's not the right one.
How impressed are you with this team?
It's not. My bad.
That's all right. We'll find it for real things. Rakia Jackson, also hilarious in the post game, where she was asked about facing Nafisa Collier next. And she, by the way, Nafisa Collier, let's remember, one of the co-founders of the league. And Rakia Jackson, who was a rookie last year for the LA Sparks, goes, I'm just going to get physical with her and hope the refs aren't on their bull crap, quote unquote. And we were texting her this, dying.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, she's keeping it a bean, though, man. Don't let them refs, you know, be the star of the show. That's all I'm saying. Let them play.
What do you think this is, the NFL?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, so Unrivaled one-on-one tournament, part two tonight. It's on, you can watch on Max or on True TV and TNT. Just hilariously funny. By the way, the announcing's so good on this. Like, the coverage, I would say, in general, is so good. Lisa Leslie's doing color, along with Sarah Kustak, who calls Nets games on the men's side. Brendan Glasheen, who I actually know, he's a Syracuse guy. He does the Connecticut Sun games for the WNBA, but was tabbed as their play-by-play announcer. He's great. So the coverage has been outstanding. Studio, game coverage, the one-on-one coverage. Like, they're just the whole league. Like, they did this right. And the product has been fantastic. And I think, Anthony, it puts pressure on the men to be like, hey, your All-Star weekend's been booty for a decade.
Yeah, we need the NBA to follow after the WNBA. Bring the one-on-one game.
Follow after, credit where it's due.
Oh, follow Unrivaled.
After Unrivaled.
Unrivaled, sorry.
And I do think that is interesting. Like, of course, when like two W teammates play each other, they'll reference that. But generally speaking, they're not really referencing the WNBA. They're like, we're our own thing. Yeah, of course, it's the same players and some of the best in the world. But it has been fantastic ball that Unrivaled has put on down there in Miami. All right, when we get back, we had two show business things to take care of. One, we have to revisit a moment from yesterday's show that is now going viral on the internet. And also, I need to ask Anthony for some ideas on what I should do with my night tonight, because I'm in a situation that normally he's in, that I'm not normally in.
Hey, so you ain't got to say it like that, man.
We're different places in our lives, Anthony.
That is fair.
I realized as I said that came off as maybe we'll skip that part. Well, more Hoffman Show next. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. We'll get to our power rankings, kind of the last ones of the 24 season, first ones of the 25 season, if you will. It's admittedly a very silly exercise because, you know, things change with free agency and trades and all that kind of stuff. There's a bunch of teams we don't know who their quarterback is going to be, but going into the offseason, we will give, you know, what we got in terms of power rankings with the assistance of the ones that ESPN put out coming up at 6 o'clock. Right now, though, a couple of things just to clean up from yesterday's show, Anthony. First of all, we have, as promised, shared with the internet the video of you missing your field goal kick at the college football playoff. If you weren't listening in the 4 o'clock hour yesterday, truly one of the most fun segments we've done in a long time. Meg McDonald stopped by, cause we were live at Capital One Arena and she was doing some stuff, and, it worked out that she was able to stop by the show. And we talked a little bit about the Super Bowl. And it was funny cause last night I was telling Rachel about, the show, and like, I couldn't even remember how we got onto some of the stuff that we were talking about. Like, we literally just got off the rails with Meg in a way that I enjoyed, because I like when our show goes off the rails. It's fun, where I'm just like, whoa, I'm driving this car and I don't know where it's going. But it ultimately wound up with you saying with confidence that you could make a 25-yard field goal and then sending us a video where you missed it.
Yeah. I think it started with Meg talking about kicking a 20-yard field goal, and then she asked you.
Oh, yeah. Upon further review, I was very confident as well. But again, I've actually kicked field goals before, not like with any. And again, someone made a really good point in the comments section already, that the game changer is a 25-yard, what I'm going to call naked field goal, not one that you take with no clothes on, one where there is no line in front of you that you have to kick over, and certainly no 6'5", 340-pound men trying to block it. Just you and either a holder or a kicking stand and the field goal posts. That's what we're talking about. An NFL, like, hey, set, hut, bang, you got to go? That sounds awful.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I will make one of three confidence goes way down.
Yeah.
I'd be also terrified of getting my leg snapped in half.
That would be scary.
But you were so confident that you said, not only would I make it, but I've done it. And then proceeded to send me a video, which we then watched live on the air, of you missing a field goal.
Yeah, I wish I had actually watched the video before I even, you know, said I did, but...
I don't also know, how do you have video of it and not know whether it went in or not?
Because it happened
two years ago.
To be honest, I think I kicked it twice, though, Craig. I think the video that we have is... Why are you looking at me like that, Craig? You know, the line,
yesterday,
was, wasn't that long. So I'm pretty sure I probably went back. I'm one of those guys that, you know, I'm determined to, you know, make it,
look,
do it until I make it.
Look, yesterday, I blanket believed you, and then Meg destroyed the both of us for being overconfident men, which we deserved.
Nah,
I am not letting you get away with that today. I'm not. I will need to see the other attempt and video.
Okay.
And I will need to see the ball go through the uprights, not miss wide on the, I made it, but it had, oh, I missed it. Sorry. It had the distance.
It had the distance, Craig. Now, I'll get you another video. Maybe a modern one. I won't do it tomorrow. It's too much snow outside.
You know, you're not Adam Vinatieri.
No.
Yeah. No. When it is nice out.
Yes.
We're gonna figure this out. We're gonna have you come down to my neighborhood. Or actually, honestly, why don't we just do it at prep?
I'm about to say,
You right literally outside. Live outside a track in a football field. We will run 40s, and we will kick field goals.
Okay.
Probably in that order.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
I'm afraid of pulling something in the field. Are you afraid of pulling something more in a field goal or a 40?
40.
I'm afraid of more damage being done kicking.
Just because I've done it already, though, Craig.
I run regularly. I do not kick regularly.
I don't do either regularly. I need to do one of them more. I need to run more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. I think we saved the Wizards deal for maybe 6:30.
Okay.
There was something very funny that happened last night at the Wizards game that I'm excited to share with you. Also, I saw Victor Wembanyama play basketball in person for the first time in... Holy, I almost just said holy S in French, and then I realized that's not a way around the FCC. I can't do that. I can't putting it in another language is still illegal. So holy moly, that was an experience. We'll talk about it coming up at 6:30. Next, we have the NFL's power rankings for 2025 from ESPN, which we will then subdivide into our NFL tiers. If you are a longtime listener of the show, 6 o'clock on Tuesdays, we have done our NFL tiers all season long. So let's set up the tiers going into the off season next on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.